Once again, it's on. Welcome to the best motherfucking podcast on the planet, The Gonzo Show, where we always politically incorrect because we don't fuck with the politics. Yeah, The Gonzo Show.
The Gonzo Show.
The Gonzo Show.
So what you want to do?
The Gonzo Show.
Yeah, welcome to the Gonzo Show, episode 14. Knocking them down, knocking them down. But listen, we're gonna hop right into it. I got some good news. Slim 400, man. You know what I'm saying? After getting shot 9 times, I don't know. Some people say 9, some people say 10. I don't know. All I know is I just seen him back on his feet, you know what I'm saying? And talking, you know what I mean? And ain't lost a step. Didn't lose any of his faculties. So I want to give a shout out to that guy for getting back up, you know what I'm saying, and not letting this shit, make him lose a step, man. It's too much bullshit going on, man. After the Nipsey shit, man, it seems like everybody should have got the message, you know what I'm saying? It's time to, be on your marathon shit, man. As far as trying to shoot another motherfucker down, man, you straight out of line. But listen, I'm going to let y'all hear from Slim 400. This is what he had to say. Listen, y'all, this is the Gonzo Show.
But is there any point when this is going down that you thought, I'm done, I'm out of here?
Yeah, I feel like as the shots was, going off, I'm trying to run, get it, do my thing. But after so long, I dropped. And I'm steady trying to crawl, get it. One of my folks come try to pull me in, they still shooting. And I'm like, man, it's over. I was about to give up right then and there, but my folks came out and helped me.
You posted something where you basically said, hey, thanks guys, the ones who were the shooters, because you must have bought the bullets at Walmart because they're cheap bullets and I'm still alive. You're taunting them. They haven't caught them yet.
I do that for the fans, you see what I'm saying? Just to keep them alive and, motivated to the point where, Slim ain't, he ain't changed, you feel me? You can't run from death, first off, so at the end of the day, I'ma still do my thing, I'ma just watch my surroundings, be with a little more security, and, stay out the way.
Ain't that the motherfucking truth, man? Nigga gotta stay out the way, you know what I'm saying? Speaking of which, you feel me? I just seen some more bullshit. You feel me? The LAPD finally coming out and admitting that they had Nipsey under investigation. But it's not just that. They keep trying to smut him a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I feel like they keep mentioning shit about investors just to try to insinuate that he wasn't doing, all the shit that he was doing on his own. Which, we all know ain't true. You feel me? Like, the nigga was putting in fucking work. So, all the smut that the LAPD is now trying to throw at Nipsey Hussle, fuck you for that. You know what I'm saying? Every one of you motherfucking pigs, donut-eating motherfuckers, fuck y'all. Fuck the LAPD. Fuck the sheriffs. All you motherfuckers. Feel me? All in one. But, on some real shit, though, it's like, soon as that shit happened, you know what I mean? How the fuck y'all got him under surveillance, but you wasn't watching him that day? I mean, what, you picked the surveil the nigga on Tuesdays and Thursdays? Like, how the fuck, you know what I'm saying? So that's like that bullshit, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, man. The police is some janky motherfuckers, you know what I'm saying? Especially LAPD, you know what I'm saying? And, yeah, man, it's just, the shit's beyond fucked up, you know what I'm saying? Even to this, ASAP Rocky shit. Now, I seen the fucking video from in entirety, you know what I mean? And the motherfuckers was just fucking with the dude, you know what I'm saying? Following the dude. They even assaulted his bodyguard, hit him in the fucking head with some headphones, split his shit wide the fuck open, you know what I mean? Followed him several fucking streets, you know what I'm saying? But, that's like that racist police mentality, especially when a nigga got some money, you know what I mean? They try to do crazy shit just to show you, show your place, supposedly, what they think, you feel me? They do all kind of janky ass shit, man, you know what I'm saying? But I got the president of the United States, Donald fucking Trump, talking about ASAP Rocky and how he gonna help him. We gonna get to that shit after these motherfucking, after I pay these bills, man. Hold on. Yeah, let me take this time to remind you, if you a player or a playette, go ahead and hit the subscription button. And don't forget to leave a review. Your feedback is greatly appreciated. You are now listening to The Gonzo Show. You gotta tune in every Tuesday, every Thursday, twice a week. Let's go!
You are now listening to The Gonzo Show.
to the Gonzo Show.
More Grief Media.
Now, let's get back to the show.
You are now listening to the Gonzo Show.
Yeah, we back, man. Like I told y'all, we got the punk-ass president, you know what I'm saying, talking about A$AP Rocky. I guess weird-ass Kanye must have put in a call through Kim, you know what I'm saying? Free A$AP, man. But we got the punk-ass president, you know what I'm saying? And he even threw a jab at his wife. He threw a jab at his wife like, yeah, it was brought to me by my wife's attention. Like, basically, Melania want to suck A$AP off, you know what I'm saying? But I'm going to let y'all hear what the punk-ass president got to say. Bitch ass nigga.
You are now listening to the Gonzo Show.
A$AP Rocky is a situation in Sweden. Sweden's a great country. They're friends of mine, the leadership. And we are going to be calling. We'll be talking to them. We've already started. And many, many members of the African American community have called me, friends of mine, and said, could you help? So I personally don't know A$AP Rocky, but I can tell you that he has tremendous support from the African-American community in this country. And when I say African-American, I think I can really say from everybody in this country, because we're all one. I have been called by so many people asking me to help A$AP Rocky. Actually, the one who knew about A$AP Rocky was our first lady, right? And she was telling me about, can you help A$AP Rocky? You want to give a little statement on that?
Man, I can't stand that motherfucker, man. His African-American. Man, fuck you, Donald Trump. Fuck you, nigga. Fuck the pussy you came out of, too, nigga. Fuck the horse your daddy rode in on and your mama was a motherfucking $2 steak hoe. Bitch, fuck you. Now, on to this motherfucker, DJ Khaled. You know what I'm saying? My nigga Khaled, mad as a motherfucker. He mad as a motherfucker talking shit about Tyler the Creator. Nigga, Tyler the Creator, nigga, he had the number one record. You feel me? Khaled mad because he had everybody in the music industry on his fucking album. Think about it. That nigga had everybody on the album, including Jay-Z and Beyonce. Drake, too. This nigga had everybody on there. When I say everybody, niggas was mad because they wasn't on that motherfucker. That shit was like the super compilation. And he still got beat out by Igor. Am I my girlfriend? Oh, you my earthquake. Yeah, that's my shit, nigga. You know what I'm saying? I love that record, man. But look, this nigga Tyler the Creator, man, he has some interesting points. He made some interesting points, man, that kind of pointed and lead it to the direction of DJ Khaled hating on the young nigga, man. Listen what this nigga Tyler had to say, though.
And this is no disrespect to Khaled or anyone, but this nigga had every person in the industry, everyone on that fucking album, everyone, Cardi B, 21 Savage, Travis Scott, Post Malone, Beyonce, Jay, everyone who sells billions of records, and the fact that I beat him with this that isn't parallel to all the popping music right now was fucking crazy, bro. Are you serious? Like, that was insane to me.
Yeah, that shit is pretty crazy. But when you think about it, you know what I'm saying? When you think about it, I feel like everybody getting tired of hearing fucking Khaled, DJ Khaled. Like, nigga, you ain't produced nothing. That's all you say, and that's all you do. You don't do no beats. None of that. DJ Khaled. So I feel like, subconsciously, motherfuckers is like, this nigga ain't talented. I don't give a fuck who on here. I ain't really listening to this shit. And people do buy the shit. Don't get me wrong. People buy it. You know what I'm saying? When you got songs with Justin Bieber, like, this nigga, you know what I'm saying? I don't even know what to call Khaled. Like, what is he? Is he a music exec? Is he a DJ? Is he a culture vulture? Nah, I don't know. What y'all think, man? Y'all leave a comment below, but listen, we finna get into Beat Wars, man. The first motherfucking episode of Beat Wars, you know what I'm saying? I got my nigga Nag Champa. Yeah, y'all go follow him on Instagram. Nag Champa versus Beat Hogan. Yeah, y'all go follow him too. Beat Hogan. Yeah, man. So listen, we're going to flip a coin right now to see who go first. Hold up. Yeah, I'm going to flip this coin right here. Heads Nag Champa, tails beat Hogan. It's heads, you feel me? So Nag Champa goes first. How this works is I play 30 seconds of each beat. 30 seconds of each beat. And y'all leave in the comment which beat y'all think is the most fire. You know what I'm saying? The firest, nigga. The dopest. You know what I'm saying? Each win gets you closer. Gets you closer to that $500 prize, man. $500, man. All you gotta do is win five times to win that $500, baby. You know what I'm talking about? Beat Wars, man. Let's go. Nag Champa, first beat up.
You are now listening to The Gonzo Show.
Yeah, that was Nag Champa, man. That was Nag Champa right there. This is Beat Wars, man, on the Gonzo Show. The next producer we got up that's against Nag Champa, his name is Beat Hogan. Go follow him. Beat Hogan. Go follow Nag Champa, too. Here we go. Beat Wars. Let's go. That was Beat Hogan, man. And you're listening to Beat Wars on the Gonzo Show. And you know what? I think I'm going to play both of these beats again, man. Now, you know, I'm going to change the rules a little bit. I'm changing the rules right now. I'm playing each beat for 30 seconds. I'm going to play both of them twice. You know what I'm saying? So y'all can determine the winner and have a better perspective on what's banging the most, man. And remember, the winner is going to be picked in the comments. Whichever beat has the most comments saying in this fire, you know what I'm saying, with the fire symbol, you feel me? Fire, 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 fire on Beat Wars. That's the beat that's going to go on. And I told y'all, each producer that gets five wins under his belt consecutively get that $500 prize. So I'm playing the first beat again, man. This Nag Champa, man. Make sure y'all follow these two guys on Instagram, man. This Nag Champa right here on the Beat Wars. Hold up. Yeah, this Beat Wars on the Gonzo Show. And that right there, that was Nag Champa, man. If y'all voting for Nag Champa, that's beat number one. Leave them fire symbols, man. I told y'all, five consecutive wins, you get that $500, baby. Now, let's play beat number two from Beat Hogan. Here we go. You're listening to Beat Wars on the Gonzo Show, man. Make sure if you're voting for Nag Champa, leave them fire signs in the comments. If you're voting for Beat Hogan, leave them fire signs in the comment. Beat one or beat number two. This is the Gonzo Show. We back, though. Listen, man. Listen, man. Listen, man. Listen, man. Shit is getting out of hand, man. Shit is getting out of motherfucking hand, man. Jermaine Dupri. Jermaine Dupri tells a story about Biggie that was just everlasting. I mean, the shit went on for so long with so many interesting little points. I was like, man, this shit can't be true, man. It sound like, the nigga that's in the corner in the county jail who got 12 cars on the street, three hoes, stocks, bonds, savings. He's Superman. He's Spider-Man. Yeah, that nigga, man. This nigga told a story like, Right. I'm talking about right before he died, nigga. He pulled the seat back. The car pulled up. He pulled the seat back and told me to get in the car with him. I would have been in that car with him right before he died. But all of a sudden, my car pulled up. And then the nigga went on and on and on about how niggas wasn't bumping Juicy and how this nigga Biggie Smalls wanted him to write him a record like Crisscross. I said, man, Jermaine, sit your little ass down somewhere and stop trying to interject yourself into hip-hop. I mean, we know you stole a few beats in your time. You know what I'm saying? You know your way around a drum machine and shit. You know what I'm saying? But as far as being super, super talented, come on, bruh. You super, super thievy. That's what you is. Super, super conniving, but trying to throw yourself in the Biggie story as if, you know, you're equal when it comes to writing was just a fucking reach. But I'm going to let y'all, what the fuck do you think? You listen to this shit. Jermaine Dupri talking about him interjecting every little corner in Biggie's life. He was there. Let him fucking tell it. Listen to this bullshit.
I didn't realize how close you were to Big. Well, I knew you were close to Big, but I didn't know that you were nearly about to get into the SUV that he ultimately lost his life in.
Yeah.
And you tell that story on the doc. I was curious too, what was your relationship like with Tupac, if you had one with Tupac as well?
My relationship with Tupac was earlier, okay. You know, because I was on the Fresh Fest and Tupac actually happened to get a couple of shows with Digital Underground. Before Tupac even made a record, I knew Tupac.
Yeah.
So he was out, you know, working with Digital Underground, and we knew each other from there. When Tupac started turning into Tupac, we didn't really talk that much. We saw each other on pass and we said, what's up? But it wasn't like me and Big. The difference with me and Big was that when Juicy first came out, it was three top records that was out, mm-hmm. right? Flavor in Your Ear, Funkified, and Juicy. These was the three new records that was coming out. So these three people was going on the road with each other, Craig Mack, me and Brat, and Big. Big's record out of the three records was the least favorable, mm-hmm. especially in Atlanta. Juicy wasn't getting no play in Atlanta. People weren't, you know, because a rapper rapping over just a break, or old record in Atlanta wasn't that. Especially it had no 808 in it. Mm-hmm. It was just done like this. The record we gonna rap over this record, so it didn't have anything to like grab people from Atlanta. So Big, he saw the success of a Funkified, and he was just like, yo, I need one of them records.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his entrance to talking to me. And me and him just started talking. And he was like, man, you got to make me one of them beats. Mm-hmm. You got to make me one of them beats. So a lot of things started happening. So I gave him a beat. And the beat didn't make his record. So he took the beat and he gave the beat to Lil' Kim, which became Not Tonight on her album.
Oh.
So that's when I did. That's how I did that song.
Uh-huh.
And he wrote to that beat, and he just was like, he loved every record that I ever wrote for Crisscross. He wanted a song that sounded just like all of them songs. So uh-huh. he was just like, yo, you got to make a record. So when Big Papa came out, and then him and Puff, they started talking about doing a remix, he was like, JD got to do the remix, because he wanted to be in the South. He wanted that sound. So he came, him and Mark Pitts came to Atlanta for the first time, and we re-recorded Big Papa.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we didn't just do a remix or you changed the music. Like, I actually redid the whole record. He re-rapped the song, changed the verse, the second verse and everything. We made a whole new song of this record. And then in that same day after we finished that, he was like, where Brad at? I was like, she upstairs, and she stayed at my house, and she was right upstairs. He's like, call her down here. So I called Brad downstairs. He's like, we gonna make a record right now too. So then we made the B-side.
Damn.
We made all these records in one day. And we just, we created this bond between us that were like, he felt like I was just, I knew exactly where he wanted to go. Uh-huh. And he felt like I had the key to where he wanted to go. So he was really like, JD, man, you know. Yeah. And then we talked about his writing. Because what Big did with Junior Mafia was the exact same thing I did with Crisscross. He just took people and he wrote the records and he made them rap, and we know them as Junior Mafia.
Yeah.
So me and him had these conversations, because he was like, I could do that. I'm going to do the same thing you did with Crisscross. Like, it was like a whole, just me and him, we just had a whole bunch of conversations, but it was all creative.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So that night, that night, he was just being a bigger man because, you know, he's like, you know, L.A., if you know L.A., yeah, in this era of time, L.A. was on fire. And it was like, you was like this at all times. Yeah, you looking around, you don't know what was going to happen, but you knew something was going to happen, right? So we came out of the place, his car pulled up, and he was like, J.D., you can't stand out here. This L.A. You know, you can't just be standing outside. I'm like, nigga, I'm from Atlanta. I ain't got nothing. I'm not from New York. They ain't got me a part of that. And he was like, I don't want to hear that. You part of what we doing. So get in the car. So in the midst of me getting ready to get in the car, you know, I had to throw the seats down and all that. That process of getting in them trucks. Then my car pulled up.
Bullshit. Nigga, that nigga just snipped. Get the fuck out of here. That's why that's Bow Wow, big homie. Them niggas be lying like a motherfucker. But listen, man, let me pay some of these bills. We be right back. Nigga, this the Gonzo Show. We back, we back, we back. The Gonzo Show, episode 14. Yeah. Listen, man. I just heard some disturbing news. You know what I'm saying? And I want to know, where does shit like this lead? When you got this much fucking money, you know what I'm saying? Them Alphabet boys, man, they're fucking pressed down on you. You know what I'm saying? And I heard a nigga, well, not a nigga. I heard a bitch was meeting Jay-Z and his associates wearing a wire. Now, why would they send the motherfucker in four different times wearing a wire if ain't no criminal activity going on? Or at least they think criminal activity is going on. You feel me? Obviously, if they send a motherfucker four different times with a wire on, you know what I mean? Something's definitely going on. You know what I mean? In they eyes, I don't know, allegedly, you feel me, something was going on, but in they eyes, they thought it was a hot enough topic to send a snitch in they miss four times, you feel me, and hey, bruh, motherfuckers did go to jail. All I'm saying is this, though, you gotta be wary of the motherfuckers at the top, man. You gotta be wary of the motherfuckers at the top because they gonna rat on everybody before they sit down. You know what I'm saying? They gonna rat on everybody before they sit down. But speaking of Jay-Z, you know what I'm saying? I got Kanye West speaking of the very first time that he met Jay-Z and played him some beats. The very first time. The nigga said he had $10 in his pocket, man. Nigga said he had $10 in his pocket. And Hov come walking in with the motherfucking Gucci bucket on her. You know what I'm saying? On some fresh shit, already millions. And he like, yo, play some beats for me. Yeah, and here's what happened. Here's the outcome of a millionaire meeting a motherfucker with $10 in their pocket with raw motherfucking talent that's hungry. Listen to Kanye. Weird ass nigga, but very talented, and now a motherfucking Kardashian. Ha!
I remember he had a Gucci hat on, like the fisherman joint, and Hip Hop, my manager, who definitely saved my life, was like, yo, play that one beat for Ho. Then it came on, dun, dun, dun. And he was listening to it like, oh, it's crazy right here. Then it got to the chorus, and the chorus was like, ain't no love in the heart of the city. And he's like, oh, he's doing his face like that. Then he's like, play the next beat, play the next beat. I played another beat. He's listening to it like, yo, man, you a soulful dude. And everything that Hov is saying is like in stone. Like, I will never forget none of these words because I'm off the train. I'm from Chicago. I got $10 in my pocket right now. And I'm just having an opportunity to play these beats. So I'm, you know what I'm saying? I've had different so-called hit records and everything up to that point. But at this point, it's like I'm just, this is like the moment of truth for me right here. So now I play another beat. Then I play another beat. Then I play this one beat. And it was like, never, 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 never change. I never change. Yo, he took his hat down. He's like, ooh. Like that. I was like, yo, maybe you like him. Maybe he'll might buy this beat. So he was like, yo, put them joints on CD. And then he left out, right? I was like, okay, I'm putting these joints on CD. We'll see what happened. So then 2 weeks later, the blueprint was finished, right? So basically at that point, everything started rolling. Everybody's like, yo, man, I heard you had half the blueprint album. I heard you did half a Jay-Z album. I couldn't even believe it myself.
Yeah, yeah, welcome back to the Gonzo Show. You feel me? That was Kanye West on his first encounter with Jay-Z playing him some beats. You know what I'm saying? He said Hov bought like 5 beats from him. You know what I'm saying? End up using all of them for the Blueprint album. Now, as I listen to Kanye, it's crazy how the industry will change a motherfucker, man. That nigga used to be normal. Listen to him. He was normal. Now, not so much. What the fuck is a sunken place? I want to know who told him that. Who told him what a sunken place was? Because that ain't something that he learned from Chicago. He ain't learned that from the south side of Chicago. Whatever side of Chicago he from, nigga, sunken place? Uh-uh. That's just not words that we use. That shit that a psychiatrist, a Kardashian psychiatrist, has told this nigga, you're in a sunken place right now. That's what's wrong with you. Take these pills, shove these fucking opiates down your face, because you're in a sunken place, and let me go ahead and swipe that motherfucking credit card for this insurance. Bullshit, you know what I'm saying? Kanye, get back to your normal self. Get back to using a motherfucking MPC 3000, you know what I'm saying? Get back to break beats. Get back to fucking with the records, you know what I'm saying? Get back to you, man. Get back to you, man. Only thing you should keep is Kim Big Booty Ass. Now, I wouldn't trade in that fat ass. Now, sometimes in some angles, I don't be liking how that shit be looking, you know what I'm saying, with them little ass hot dog legs. It's like a motherfucking a turkey butt. With some hot dog legs. Shit be looking funny like a, you know, like ant body. You know what I'm saying? A little ant body. But I still bang, though. And you know, Kim, she a nice looking motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I'd rather have Courtney, though. See, Courtney, the low-key Kardashian, that's really the finest. You know what I'm saying? Like, for real, for real. I really think Courtney better than all them bitches, but she just got all them motherfucking kids by Scott. We can't tell, you know what I'm saying? Because we keep we always catch her in mommy mode. But, you know, she got a nice little ass on her, too. And she ain't had no surgery or none of that shit. Not down bottom, at least. You feel me? No surgery down bottom for Kourtney Kardashian. You know what I'm saying? Khloe, definitely. They cut her up. You feel me? Khloe had that ass done. All of them had that ass done except, what's the little skinny one? The little model one? The little skinny one, the little model one, and Courtney. Yeah, you know, it's all, you know, natural. They probably had their titties done. So little titties. Now let me go. Hey, listen, man. This has been the Gonzo Show, episode 14, man. Hit the little podcast. Yeah, the podcast button right there on your iPhone. You see it? It's purple. You see the shit? Hit the podcast button, type in The Gonzo Show, go subscribe, and leave a review. I love y'all for that, man. And make sure you go to gonzo.net right now, gonzo.net, and go get some classic, authentic Caution merchandise. If you ain't getting it from me, you getting ripped off. You in last place, man. Yeah, Spotify, as well as Google Podcast, as well as Stitcher or wherever else motherfuckers is podcasting. Go search The Gonzo Show, subscribe, and leave a review. Support a real nigga. You know what I'm talking about? Peace. I'll see y'all episode 15, man. I'm up out of this. Biatch!
You are now listening.